This is Channel One, right? This is Channel One, right? This is the beginning of the real with Jimmy Means, or what I hope becomes the real Jimmy Means. This is the first and the not too promising visit on that real, on Channel One, right? On Channel One, right? On the real Jimmy Means. The visit right after they listened to the Kentucky game at the store this Saturday afternoon, the 16th of November, 1968. This is Channel One, right? This is Channel One, right? On the real Jimmy Means, or what I hope becomes the real Jimmy Means. And that first visit to be taped after they listened to the Kentucky game at the store on Saturday afternoon, 16th of November, 1968. The first part, I decided to go in and take part with them, and I taped some right during the game, right in front of that radio. I'll stick it in, just it may deafen everybody. And then we talked for a few minutes outside by the truck, and Jim was in a hurry to get home. Out there, my approach was, I had not been able to do well with cattle, and with all his experience, I wanted to get him to advise me.
Otis don't never give it a right sell.
Well, I thought he was one of the best, Jim.
Well, if he is, I'd hate to see the sorrow. They call him bullshit boy.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, that's the thing.
Well, he's got his
dual. You ever seen him? He's a big man.
Yeah. Pretty, it's sort of heavy set, isn't it?
They're the running back.
Oh, yeah. The ball in the Gator 40-yard line.
We are just he's a King Solomon.
What?
We got a Boohog in it, too.
What do you mean, Jim?
His name's Ho. He's called a Boohog.
Oh. Is he up there at the right side? With Bob?
No, this is a football
game.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes he knocks shit out of him.
He's
spiky, you know.
When you run into base.
Running into base, you get spiked sometimes.
Yeah.
There it is, you play it then.
It is cool. Like baseball would be today.
You can play it dirty.
Can you?
Ray Graves is.
Yeah.
His data ray is going out and he'd have to get a new brand.
Yes, sir.
We'll have to figure up something.
Yes, sir.
I'll figure it up as well.
Yeah.
Florida, Florida playing football, they won more than they have during the year.
Oh, yeah.
The point after was good, and we've got a 16 to 6 in that whole outfit.
Yeah. That's what it means.
That's why the university ain't got a winning football team. There's a boy coming out of a county down here, and there's a senator in that county wants him to play on the football team. All right, we'll put him on. You know about much about football as I do.
Yeah.
Check in number 73 for Kentucky.
You take Georgia Tech. It's a small college. And they got a wonderful football team. They go politics in it. They go out and recruit. They get good football players.
Yeah.
And they win, too.
Yeah.
Hell, they went up north and beat some big colleges up there. Big college up there. They don't have a winning football team.
Oh, they ought to hardly ever lose a game.
In 1944, they had a pretty fair football team, but they run to 2,500 students up there.
Yeah.
2,500. I was in a class up there and didn't have but 25 students in it.
Yeah.
That's close. Yeah. 25 is all we had. That's what's wrong with our government, too. In the game. There's where the game changes colors.
Fighting for the first down. And in getting that second effort, he had the football Kentucky at the Gator 26-yard line.
I seen baseball games won in the ninth inning with two strikes and two men out.
It'll be first down at 10 Kentucky after that fumble by Bassett. The Cats have it at the Gator 26-yard line with 9:18 to go in the ball game. Kentucky option play is hit and drop.
Be crushed for everything you expect.
That's a hot seat, eh?
Yes. middleman.
Wow, isn't that sweet?
The left tackle coming in, Dorsey. Oh.
You got a wolf in there now.
Bacon at the running back.
Tagging that horse forward.
He's going
for
the long one down the middle. He got it. Right,
his front of the can't give us correct
first and
yardage.
Kentucky at her 47-yard line.
If he's 45, he would drop it back to 43.
Keeps the drive going with a pass play.
Oh, yardage.
Second and four, Kentucky's ball at the Gator 47-yard line.
That's the way to get a touchdown, too.
5 minutes, 10 seconds to go in the ball game.
That's the way to get a touchdown.
Dave,
with small yardage,
directing
small
the attack.
Just keep grinding to get them
Dave
down,
there.
See?
Huh?
The
get those down.
Completes the lane back at the Gator 35.
Score
the Gators
again.
Call for a timeout.
Gator too short.
Yeah. They don't need Gatorade.
No, Gator piss.
Some dealers give you a used car at a new car price.
I'm going to throw a boom this time.
Kentucky has the ball at her 32 with a minute and 20 to go. They say you stepped out just a half yard upfield at the
32. No, I just got a few little things I want to do for you, so.
Before it gets dark.
It's damn cold, do I got?
What?
It's cold.
Oh.
I'll tell you what happens late in the afternoon to have a chill.
Oh.
That's how cold affects you.
Yeah.
Too. Because you can pull a bad tooth.
Yeah.
This thing, you got to wear it out.
You just got to wear it out or wear you out.
Yeah, I've got stuff in there to take it now, but it don't kill it.
Yeah.
You just got to wear it out.
You had so much, you the Groves? Is that where you spend most of the time?
Yeah, I've got a contract to furnish them two citrus shops with fruit.
Yeah.
I pick for them, sir.
Yeah. Well, you just do it by the job. You don't do it by the. You don't have to put in time.
No, I'm my own boss.
You your own boss.
I go down and get what they want, and then I'm sued. Till next time.
That's more than Huff himself can say.
Well, in a way, I'd rather be there than be in Huff's shoes.
I
don't expect I owe the money that man owes.
Yeah.
He owes a lot of money.
Yeah, you know he does.
I know he does. Told me out of his own mouth. He borrowed on this crop of fruit. Now, suppose a freeze comes tonight.
Yeah.
Man, I don't want no orange grove. It's not safe anymore. It was years ago, but not now.
You ain't got enough margin.
No. We're up in here now, and this is a coal district up here now. It used to didn't be.
Yeah.
No, I don't want no grove.
You know what I was wanting? I see you every now and then passing on the highway there. You had all sorts of experience in here. I thought I'd just get you... Now, you take over there where I am. I don't make much money on them cattle, Jim.
Let me tell you what's wrong. How many head you got?
I'm selling out now.
Well, I fix and tell you, if you ain't got a big herd and a lot of pasture, get out of it. It takes pasture, it takes feed, and worration and everything else, Mr. Myers, food, cows.
Yeah.
You got to have acres. Buddy Huff don't make no money out of his cows. It's a hobby to him.
Oh.
He just likes to go down and see fat cows grazing. No, he can't make any money because he buys all his feed. He's got two men hired by the week.
Yeah.
To take care of that stock.
Yeah.
He can't make any money.
Yeah.
You can't make any money when you're spending a dollar and taking in 50 cents.
Who's he got down there now?
He's got
that?
A white boy. Of course, the boy's been sick. Jolie, and he's got a nigger.
Oh. What happened to the man that was with him there for so long?
Roland Thomas used to be with him.
Well, no. Now, let me tell you.
He's still there, Joe Lee.
Oh, is that his name?
Yeah, but he had a stroke the other day. He's been out about a week. I don't know if Joe will be much good anymore or not.
Well, he won't unless he takes care of himself.
Well, he's had a stroke, and he walks this right leg.
Yeah.
I saw him the other morning.
But he oughtn't walk tall for a while. He gets his
limp. I told Joe.
Limp.
I said, you ought to lay up another week, too.
Yeah.
Get fixing to get on the track that morning.
Yeah.
And that's the worst thing you can do, just to make that leg work.
That's right. That's the worst thing you can do. As I understand it.
Money, I reckon. And you know, when you haven't got much, you got to go.
What age man is he?
Hmm?
What age man is he?
Didn't understand you.
How old is he?
Joe is about, I'd say, 51 or 2.
Yeah. He didn't look like he is. I don't know, you know, it's...
I don't want no stock. Unless I had a lot of pasture, equipment, and feed. You raise your own feed, it's cheaper than buying it.
Yeah.
If you can make it, raise
it. Yeah.
And hogs, I don't want no... Man, I wouldn't have a hog on the place.
Well, now, Freddy...
Yes, World War, I had about 150 head of hog on that old farm over there.
Yeah.
And I hauled Hogue's old car, and I can show you some of the old records. I sold them for 4 cents a pound.
You never sold them that low, cheap.
That is the truth. I'm holding my hand in the sky. I can show you. I got the records at the house. Kettum Swift. 200-pound Hogue brought $8. Before the war. I got out of it. I had a nice bunch of hogs. I had 150 head one time. I had about 70 head of cows.
You made more money on suitcases than anything else.
That's right. I'd go back in tonight if I
had. At that time?
Yeah, I made some good money.
You think you'd do it again?
I can make them, but I tell you, the labor. It costs you $2 a bushel to make them. I used to make them for buying 25 cents a bushel.
With the handling and all?
Yeah. I had cheap labor, and I had my own tractor. Had the own land. Had mules, too. And I did a lot of work myself. I done all the fertilizing. By hand, I used my hand for that fertilizing. And I made sweet potatoes.
Yeah.
I made sweet potatoes.
Yeah.
And sold them, too.
Why can't I? Let me tell you.
Maybe I get some more. Whatever. I need 40 bucks, you see.
Yeah.
I go get the 40 bucks, I'm through.
Yeah.
But I didn't hang around there a while, rest, and talk to the folks down there.
Oh, do you? Well, that's what I
always. Especially if there's some women around, you know.
Well, they got some nice ones down there.
I can't do much with them, but I can still talk to them.
Yeah, you do.
You know, I don't like to talk to women. I knew an old man about 88 years old.
Yeah.
He still liked women.
Yeah.
But he couldn't do nothing with them, but he liked to be around them, you know. Mm-hmm. There's just something fascinating about it. Fascinating about it. We had a wise man in the Bible. They called him a wise man, but I always thought he was a fool. Solomon.
Mm-hmm.
He had too many women. I think a man, one woman's enough for me. That fool had, I think he had 700 wives, and I don't know how many concubines.
One at a time.
But he had, he never got around, so he had help.
Yeah. Jim, you got it. You better off than the headman down there, because you don't have to worry about all them
things. When I go to bed at night, I can lay down. Unless somebody shoots me in the bed.
Yeah.
But Buddy was a lot, man. He, man, that man was.
But
he reached out here and got so much, he's got his fingers in a lot of things.
Yeah.
And Buddy, as I told him one time, less than 2 years ago, I said, man, you ought to get out and exercise. He's too fat. He lay around that office, smoke a cigar, and drink his whiskey. Exercise something. You don't exercise getting in a car and riding old Callan back. Man, it tired me to go to game back riding the car. But you can't do that with him. He's setting his ways.
He's not old enough to be setting his ways. Yeah.
He's 61. He's 61 years old.
You know, I'm
the oldest man on the job. I'm 63. I'm the oldest man down there.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And you're a better man than Buddy is.
He couldn't get out there and do it and kill him.
Yeah.
One day and he'd be through. I worked at that shed down at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. He couldn't do that. Handling them packages all day and all night.
Yeah.
But I used to. I did for years. You get used to something, and it don't go too hard.
Yeah.
But if you get out of it a few years and try to come back, then it's hell.
Yeah.
It's like playing baseball. I could quit baseball when I was about 50 years old. I couldn't play no more baseball. You don't come back. Just like you, when you retire, if you sit on your porch over there, you won't live long.
Yeah.
You better get out and stir some.
Yeah.
You used to it, you're active.
Yeah.
And it's like a machine. You let a car or truck sit up a while, and it's hell to start.
Yeah.
You use it every day, see? And when you quit, it quits too.
Yeah.
But I'd rather feel good, I'm telling you, than have that truck body full of $1,000 bills.
You know, I wonder sometimes how it'd feel if a fella had enough money to pay all his bills and go ahead and get anything he wants right without having to sweat it out. You know,
that'd be a good feeling, all right.
You think it would?
Yeah, it would be a good feeling.
You never had that feeling, Jim. You don't know.
A man told me that if he had $100,000, he'd pay for his debts for good, and he'd still owe $100,000.
Yeah.
But a man like me couldn't borrow $500. If you ain't got something to back it up with, you out.
You know, as plentiful as money is.
If money's in big business's hands.
Yeah.
That's what's ruined our very food business. And it's ruined the timber, but it's ruined all kind of business.
Yeah.
The cattle, the orange business is ruined. It's controlled by four or five big growers.
Yeah.
You got a small grower over there, you at the mercy. You got to give your oranges away, or you can't take them out here and peddle them anymore.
You'd stay in.
You out.
Yeah.
They got you.
What?
When you work for a big corporation, you're just like a boat in that car. And when it falls out, they got another boat to put in.
Yeah. Now, when you started out down here, you see, things wasn't like that.
That's right.
If you wanted, you could speculate on a little potato crop or cattle or anything else, and you could.
I made money during the war out of fruit. I took two trucks and bought fruit and hauled them to the bank to the juice house and made money.
Yeah.
I can't do it now. Well, they ruined it. It's like they got Fred Wood as his eggplant. He's at a mercy. He just got one man that'll use him. We had packing houses years ago, and we had competition. One man offered $2, another offered $2.25. You didn't have to sell to the first man.
Yeah. If you didn't want to go to McIntosh, you'd go down there lower.
Sure, you go to Citra. You go to Reddick. You had packing house at Fairfield. But now you at the mercy of one, see?
Well, what Miss Patterson complain about?
What do you mean?
Don't you know she's complaining about some of them practices down there at one time on handling them vegetables?
Well, I heard some rumors. I don't know.
Well, I mean, what I was thinking of, she could have shopped around from one place to another.
Would, I don't know. She just went to one place, and they just give her what they wanted, I reckon. I worked down there.
So Jim cranked up his old truck, and away he went. And I came on home and put in that pipe that sprung a leak, another leak. And we messed around a few minutes and came on in to listen to the news and ate supper. And I've been transferring the tape. We read a letter from Faye. This is the very first time old Jim Means I've got him on tape. And some of his talk, you see, is just as clear, and his use of the language is so strong. I knew that, but I'd never been able to get him.
When his mother was living,
yeah.
We used to love fruitcake. And I had some nuts last year, so Sue and I and Bacon baked him a little fruitcake. But before we did it, I said, James, do you like fruitcake still? He says, no, no. But I was eating a piece of fruitcake and somebody left a shell and said it broke out these teeth. So we don't eat fruitcake anymore.
Who is that?
James Means. Jim
Means.
Oh, Jim Means.
Uh-huh. But we made the fruitcake, and I told him it didn't have any holes. And he said,
you know, I used to order him Heinz 57 variety plum puddings and put them up in little cans.
Mm-hmm.
That he was hitting around.
He'd buy them, order them about a dozen of them things every year.
Oh, really?
Trying to buy them all up.
I've already got him.
Well, yeah, he's gone farther than anybody I know in living within his means. I didn't mean fun. I mean, you know, what he made.
Yeah, I would doubt that.
And he
to be one that used to be what I'd call extravagant, I reckon. Always lost his place over there, and his mother died back in the heyday when they was pretty prosperous. Jim was particular about what he ate.
Oh,
the best kind of clothes. All that kind of stuff.
Yes, sir.
Mother had to cook his bacon and egg for him every morning, and he had to have his bacon cooked just so. He wouldn't eat it if it wasn't cooked. He didn't want it real brown, and he didn't mean it. Don't you know my man used to have to go over there?
Aunt Augusta wouldn't let your mother did it. I had to do it.
You had to cook it?
Yes, sir. I think
well, he didn't want it brown.
The same day she was in that hospital.
Why, Jane?
Yes, sir. I set my clock by every morning. Put. She told me exactly how to do it. And she said,
When did Aunt Augusta die?
She died.
1940?
When your mother died, didn't she? Was
she died. Let me see. Butch was the baby. He was. Carried him over there to see her before she got real sick. He must have been. You know, Mama and Aunt Augusta died within a month of each other.
That's what I know.
About 25 years ago.
Your mother died in
after the war.
April, didn't she? Or May. I know we were packing spring squash when she died.
Wasn't that during the war?
I think so. Pretty sure it was.
Yeah, Butch was born during the war because I couldn't find no diapers anywhere. I had people from here to Jacksonville to Miami looking for some diapers. About a dozen and a half a dozen in that way.
Miss Hattie tells one of the finest stories about Miss Augusta than I ever heard about anybody. She says they used to imitate her, her mother. They liked her.
Mm-hmm.
But she had a high manner or something about her. You may have heard them go like her.
Mm-hmm.
And it's rich.
Mm-hmm.
It's rich. So I can see that breakfast might have a little ceremony to it. Uh-huh. Where she was.
She was a marvelous cook. Oh, she was wonderful.
Now, Jim, you know it's hard to visualize that he's brought up by somebody like that.
Yeah, every inch of
her. She used to humor him to death. Yeah. Son, that's what she called him.
Yes.
Son.
I don't believe, Jane, let me tell you, I don't believe anybody who comes through here and just see a bunch of people sitting around like we are talking and see Jim there munching would ever picture that. But you know, you can see it in his speech. When he, Freddie, the other afternoon after that game, we went out there and talked to him. And he talked like, I don't know how to explain it. But, you know, I mean, he talked well.
Oh, yes, he came. It wasn't at James Means that they said they used to have this old colored man, nigger man, that worked on the place. And when he wanted to go hunting, that they stopped him from work and sent him with that young boy all day hunting.
For him to pick up the birds.
Uh-huh. And that. To, you know, to take care of the boy. Yeah. That was James's fault.
Or was it James Means' granddaddy or his uncle that owned all this land that the Richardsons owned here on the lake?
That was his...
That's a judge.
That was his granddaddy. Judge Means.
Judge Means.
Granddaddy.
There was three. Now, Judge Means had three sons. He had Jim, Jim's father, and George Means, he was a doctor. He died in Jacksonville. Practiced medicine here for a long time. And there was one named Charlie Means. Charlie died here. Jim's dad died in New Orleans. Jim's last one. Neither one of his uncles had
any. No, Jim's got a first cousin somewhere in Jacksonville. Like he don't, that's little George.
Well, now, how were they connected with Natalie?
Huh?
Herlong. Wasn't there some family connection?
Yeah.
With the
Meanses and the Simontons were kin to each other. Natalie
was
a
Simonton. Simonton. Yeah.
Tell me again about that breakfast. That just fascinating.
Well, Aunt Augusta had to go to the hospital. She had cancer. And she was so worried about James and what to do about James. So she asked me if I would fix his breakfast. And I told her I'd be glad to do. And she told me exactly how to fry his bacon. Exactly how to fix his toast and his egg and his coffee. I believe
cocoa.
He had cocoa. Cocoa.
Yeah,
yes,
that.
I had to make his cocoa. And I had a three burner oil stove with an oven on the side in that old kitchen back then.
And that was big breakfast then because times was hard then.
Well, he
everybody
had.
Didn't eat like that then.
Well, they grew sweet potatoes over there. They always had peas. And just nice things to eat, and Aunt Augusta would call.
And
the best divinity and the best fruitcake.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
She was a super.
Well, that's really a story that Miss Hattie tells from hearing her mother tell about Miss... Miss Abigail. That's it.
Don't you hurt that kitten.
I love to hear tell it, but you know it's, you feel embarrassed just to go up and say, Miss Hattie, I want you to tell that story again. Yes, it's sort of bad. But she'd do it, I imagine. And she can make good divinity.
Ooh, and it's the best fruitcake. I know that I carried her. God, I never had a prison out of, before I was married, I couldn't drive a car. And she didn't have anybody to take her to. Old Uncle Moore, who gave x-ray treatments after that. And she called me and she said, James, will you take me to Old Town to see Dr. Moore? I said, well, I guess I never have driven out on the road before, and I certainly never have driven in town. But I said, if you're willing, I'll try. She said, well, we'll take Mac's car. Uncle Mac had a car. So we set out. Me, a raw inexperience, had never been out of this town, and I carried her to Ocala time after time. And when Christmas time came, she gave me a beautiful plate just stacked with divinity.
Oh.
And when she was a character, I tell you, wasn't it? After she got out of the hospital in Gainesville, she went to Harry and Lois's house. Fred's brother Harry and his wife Lois were living in Gainesville then. And they took her out there, I guess, to go back, you know, see a doctor. And she called me again, and she said, Jane, I want you to come up here and get me. I said, well, Aunt Augusta, I'll come get you. What's the matter? Are you ready to come home? Yes, I'm ready to come home. I want you to come get me. Go get Max's car and come get me. So I went up there, and she knew to me there. She got her things, and she got me home. And she said, I can cook at home. I said, I can cook my meals at home. I said, nobody's doing anything for me up here. Said, don't you take her home? She said, I had to cook my own oatmeal, make my own coffee. And she said, I want
to. Well, yeah. And do that at home.
Yeah, I can do that at home. She was very plain spoken.
Remember the story?
Fred, do you remember the night that, the Saturday afternoon that the strange character got loose in here?
Yeah, yeah.
Was it a Negro or a white man?
It was a Negro.
He was must have been off or something. But anyway, they first saw him up on the lake, didn't they? Somebody saw him, and he was strange, and he acted strange, and he ran. And immediately the town began to see him here, there, and everywhere, and everybody was up in arms and running around here hunting this Negro. And I was in the store, and you went to the house, didn't you, to see or something?
I went over there, Gus.
No. You didn't go over there because the telephone rang and I went over there and she said, Jane, there's a strange man in my yard. And I said, well, who is it, Aunt Augusta? Can you tell? Well, he's out there in the banana trees and said he's calling for me to bring him some clothes. And I said, well, you just stay right where you are and I'll send somebody over there. And somehow the poor thing had gotten wet and he didn't have any sense to come out there and pulled off his clothes. And he had been to her house earlier, hadn't he?
He was an escaped convict, I think.
And he must have been mental, too. But anyway, they got over there, and by the time they got there, he's gone from there.
She told me she felt sorry for the poor
man. Yeah, she did. She would have probably took him out some clothes, too.
What age was she when she died?
64. She and my mother. She wasn't old. She was a lot. Didn't you ever see her picture up at the house?
I may have, but I forgot it.
I'll show it to you.
I don't remember those things.
My man
was.
Yeah, well, they were always.
Oh, I bet you I would love to see some of them pictures that y'all have up there.
She had her hair done back off of her face, and this. She had beautiful blue eyes, just clear and blue. She didn't look like my mom. She was cute.
I guess she looked more like my grandfather.
I believe she did.
Look at the beautiful picture.
I like that.
She did some painting. She painted. They have some paintings up there. Mm-hmm.
I imagine I've seen it up there, you know, but my recollection of those things is
My ma used to keep it when she had that front bedroom. It was always in her room. But
James is a funny fellow, though. When we cleaned out my things after she died, you know, we found some things that pertained to her, and I think we found an old clipping that Mai had of her wedding, of engagement, a picture of her or something, and tried to give them to James, and he wouldn't have
them. Oh, yeah, I know what it was. It was a picture of him with his grandmother, and a picture of his father.
And a picture of him when he was a little boy.
And when he was a baby, and I thought he'd just love to have it. Yeah.
I still got it.
I never did see it. Jim's dead and he died before I was born. I never saw him, never saw him. I never had a saw a living, never saw an uncle of mine. Some uncle and lord, but none of them. All of them died before.
You know that brother Rob?
That's born.
Lived up where?
Davidson lives now.
It was an old house. It was an old style house.
I remember.
And he lived up
there. Daddy's sister, that was John Morford's stepmother, Aunt Jessie, she lived in Virginia. She was the youngest one in Daddy's family.
Where was Uncle Rob bird hunting when he shot himself and killed himself?
Right over there on that.
He was hunting with Mr. Willis. He was alive, Tom said.
When your grandmother?
She used mom.
Well, Ma said she got in a little wagon. You know, I guess it was a thought of getting him if he got hurt today or bring him.
Oh, I always forget Miss Anna had a mother, too.
They said she was quite wonderful.
Now, how long did she live?
Fred remembered his grandmother well.
Oh?
And Aunt Elizabeth, too. Well,
she died about 23, 24, something like that.
Well, Miss Ida.
She was 72, I believe, when she died.
Miss Ida died around 20?
Ida Walker.
Yeah.
I remember when she died, but I don't remember exactly.
Well, I saw it on that little paper, you know, I was working on it.
She's buried down in the cemetery.
Huh?
She's buried down in
the cemetery. You know, that wooden Warren that died down here, he fell out the door, you know, six or nine. And he used to talk to you all the time. He was so fond of Fred's grandmother, Miss Evans, that's what he called her.
Oh.
And he told me a lot of times he talked about. He said one day she was out here from the store talking to somebody. He passed by. Said she was busy. He said he went on by and said he didn't speak to her. He said she'd stop. She said, would it? I said, yes, ma'am. He said, don't walk past me and not speak to the old folks. Don't speak to me. He thought the world of her. Oh, yeah, old miss. That's what it's called. Old miss.
Oh, is that right? But Lord help us. Miss Anna was way up in life by that time.
Yeah.
While her mother was living.
Yeah.
Oh, it's hard to see generations. It's hard to see. Now, unless you've lived them, like she did. Well, I don't know. I get a little glimpse of it.
Mama was the oldest child, wasn't she? Well, I remember something. Let me see. That was Mama and Aunt Augusta and Rob.
No, Rob was a young.
Rob was baby.
Uncle Drake.
Drake. Mm-hmm.
And Argyle and Rob.
You remember that Mama told us that her father got real sick when they were little children. Said he was desperately ill, yeah. And she said they had the doctor out there, I know, and said the doctor said how sick he was and that they must have absolute fire. And my mom said that her mother called those four children in, and she said, your father is real, real sick, and I don't want one bit of noise. And she said she got a switch, and she switched them all, and she said, now, I mean, I don't want any noise. My mom said there was no noise. So she must have been a real, real...
That picture up there from the park.
He had, Susan just died of pure malaria, I know it.
He was so frail and thin looking in that picture.
Yeah. She always said,
well, things ought to get good up there now since that frost fell on.
She's all right now.
Gonna finish steal me a mess one of these days.
All right.
Go get a mess. That's what we all ought to have, some collard greens there close to the house.
None of mustard greens.
That's a big mistake I made, getting cows instead of collard greens. This is talk around the store, around the stove in the store, and it's really past closing time. It's a little bit after 6 o'clock. It's good and dark. Jane, Sue is there looking a little pale. The boy, Freddie, had been sick, had a cold. Freddie came in and squatted him there on his leg, you know. And Fred just picked up any of these stories about the family. He just seems to love to talk to about them. That was a Johnson man who sells vegetables that came in last and got us off on collards. Mr. Gehrig was in at the very beginning and said a word, but he didn't linger. I just left his house and dropped in there. And this is Channel 1 Right. This is Channel 1 Right on the reel, Jim Means. Now, Jim not in this, but it's on him. We talked mostly about him, as it happened, just not planned. It just worked out that way. And this is about 4:50, Channel 1 Right, on the reel, Jim Means. We talked mostly about Miss Augusta, Aunt Augusta. And Jane had cooked breakfast for James when Miss Augusta had to go to the hospital. It's Channel 1 Right, about 4:50, Channel 1 Right, on the reel, Jim Means.